Hey, are you tired of meeting with prospects only to have them put you off again and again, turning them into yet another missed opportunity? Are you tired of trying to do the same things in meetings and not seeing any improvement in the amount of business you're closing? Do you want to stop giving your time away in hopes that a client will buy something or someday transfer their assets? Well, Whiteboard University is our two-hour live workshop where we will teach you how to have engaging meetings with every prospect and client you meet with, how to quantify your advice so prospects are willing and excited to pay you a financial planning fee, and finally, where we teach you how to explain financial strategies in a dynamic, interesting way that will separate you from all the boring advisors who do the same old thing. If you're serious about having better client meetings and closing business faster, visit WhiteboardU.com today and sign up for one of our live workshops in November. Whiteboard University offers a 100% money-back guarantee if we don't help you improve your communication and meeting skills. That's WhiteboardU.com. We'll see you there.
Andy, it's not me, it's you.
What? Oh, it's a breakup line.
Sorry, the other line.
Yeah, that's a breakup line.
Today we are talking about a great book, Necessary Endings.
That does not sound like a very... Like, that's the kind of book you don't want to catch someone else in your life. Have someone else in your life catch you read.
Nice.
Because you're like, oh, no, it's about someone else. So how did you find out about that book? It seems like a relational-focused book.
I think I was meeting with somebody, maybe my mentor, and just in the life stuff. I think if people you spend enough time around for long enough, and if they feel like a trend happening, like every time we hang out, that there's these things popping up.
Yeah.
Whether it's consistent frustration with a certain person on your team, you know, relationship, whatever it looks like. And so I think someone said, it's time. You need to read this book.
Well, so it is, it's a Henry Cloud, isn't it? Yeah. Henry Cloud, who's written phenomenal books. His most sort of cornerstone book is Boundaries. But then from that book, they made Boundaries in Marriage and all these different boundaries books. And they're really phenomenal. When we think about necessary endings, let me just ask this. Why is it so hard for humans to be intentional about ending relationships?
From my experience, I think change is hard. You know, growing up, we had a lot of change. And so there's something inside of me that said, you know, if you can hold on to what you know or keep things the same for as long as possible, that's a win. And so I would fight ending of relationships. You know, you think about your best friend in fifth grade. It's like, we're going to be best friends forever. Yeah. And it's like, well, that's just not natural. Like, there's going to be something great about it, but then there's going to be next seasons. And so for me, a big part of the book was almost starting to accept like seasons of life and that like endings aren't always bad. Delayed endings can be bad. And then add on top of that, I was kind of a caretaker. That, you know, I wanted to take care of people. And so it was like, even when every signal was, this isn't good for you, this is actually hurting more people, it was like, no, but I can fix it. I want to help them with it.
Yeah.
And so for me, as I read the book, it was kind of this, a lot of things came into focus for me that it's like, okay, change actually can be good for everybody. It's not your job to take care of people. And staying in bad, you know, relationships, whether it's coworkers or friendships or whatever it is, every single time I tried to do it and tried to fix it, for whatever reason in my life, I felt like, man, I can do this stuff. And I look back and I was like, most of the time it didn't end well. So yeah. I'm not sure what part of my world was like, Sten, you're good at this if you take it in your own control, because there's way more examples of it not going well than me figuring it all out by myself.
Right. In the context of those who are listening, you know, this applies to any relationship. I think that's a lot of people think of this book as, you know, it's a marriage book or or any sort of deep relationship romantically. I think that the reason this book is one of those books that will just forever sell, and there's certain books that just sell and sell and sell, they never go out, is it really taps into the idea that most people start virtually every relationship like it'll never end. But that's just not likely. And if it is, if you do have a relationship after relationship that doesn't end, that's actually a sign of unhealthy behavior. And the examples they give that of these three types of necessary endings.
And we'll focus mainly on team members, business today.
Right.
But you will see this Yeah. This maps everywhere in your life.
Right. That's where this connects. But I will say this before we dive into the three types is that I've heard this said many times is you get what you tolerate. And those who have made a great hire after having not made a great hire, as I've done before, I go, why did I tolerate that? Mm-hmm. And sometimes you just didn't know. You didn't know how good you could have it in a hire until you hired that good one. And you're like, oh, wow, why didn't I ever? Sure. But you just didn't know, right? Yep. So give yourself a little grace in that area.
Yep.
So one of the, so there's three types of nester endings. One of them is it's good, but it's not the best. And I love the a metaphor of a plant or a rose bush that every plant will generate more than it actually needs. And that's why you'll prune it back to have the most vibrant. You would never in a healthy way to say, yeah, every branch needs to stay forever and ever and ever. Like that's not the case. And I think if you said, hey, every employee you hire, you have to keep them forever, no one would go, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And yet it's really hard to prune them, right?
I'm not an arborist, but I, at least in Tennessee, I see these trees sometimes. It looks like they completely take everything away.
Yeah. Those, when I moved here, I was like, who killed the tree? Someone assassinated your tree.
I mean, it feels like they cut off 90% of what's
left.
They
do. We got to figure out what those trees are, but I know exactly what you're talking about. I moved here and I was like, I was like, that's the worst pruning ever.
And somebody's going to email us about it. So
please do.
But for me, and this is the season Legacy's gone through, is I went, from caretaking everybody to, attracting people that were good people, but they, as long as they hung out around Sten, they kind of caught his overflow, and Sten was kind of the driving force until I had enough things on my plate that I couldn't be the driving force all the time. And then what it revealed is people not necessarily achieving their potential. And so when I woke up to some of these things and recognized, the stuff inside of me that needed to change, and then just what good leadership is, I've had 100% turnover in my team in Legacy, which I have, fear about, some shame about, because it's like, well, I was the one that hired them. I was the one that put the rules in place. But it's never too late to get healthy and run a better business.
Yeah.
And so I had to shift my focus from keeping everybody forever, because that's what a good team leader in a company does, to how do you be a great place to be from, to where they leave better, you exit them the best you can, all along knowing that, a few of those people are probably upset still. And then, they can't handle where I just wasn't doing a great job. Or when a company lets you go, it's essentially saying, we think that our next season is better without you than with you. And that's hard for everybody. So when it comes to it, good, but not the best, a lot of times to go from where you are to where you want to go, there a lot of times does need to be a change in people.
Yeah. And I would agree with that. There is a measure of, gosh, am I doing too much? But that picture, and I'm going to keep looking during the episode here because I really find it. It's such a great, and I want to find it because I want other people to look up this tree. Like if you looked at this tree and you didn't know that that's how they trim them, you would just think, you murdered that tree. You are a tree murderer.
Yeah.
But those or trees
being completely over.
But those trees grow. So, in 6 months, they're back. Yeah. Right. And so the healthy part of this is that the very healthiest thing you can do is to cut, and then it will grow back. And it's not like a little trim. They cut yeah. deep, okay. Right? So another part of this that I think is just healthy to acknowledge is that what is sick and won't recover, that you have to just be honest and just say, sometimes you can prune things back and that's okay. Sometimes this is not the right person, right? And it's not a character. Sometimes it is character, but most time it's not character. It's just capacity, capability. This is not going to work, right?
Yeah, and I think there's the part of they weren't hired well, meaning you brought on the wrong person, you didn't onboard them correctly, something there. But there's also times where it's like, hey, this worked, but then something's changed. I had a team member once that hired, everything was going great, and then they moved, and their commute was like 40 to 50 minutes now.
Yeah.
And that commute compounded daily, and they actually started resenting their job and the way it impacted their life. And so I think we all as business owners, entrepreneurs have to hold like change is constant, trying to never be surprised by something, is that something can go from this was healthy to unhealthy. And we just have to see it for what it is and not try to rely too heavily on what it was before.
And this is, that's a great lead into the last one, which is you have to prune what is already dead. And again, God bless these people. We wish them the best, but not here. Meaning sometimes people are already checked out, yeah, or they're just culturally, it's not going to be the right, like you're not. And we have so many conversations with advisors, and it's like, it's just so hard for, because we go, what are the chances this person's going to turn it around? And they're like, I'm pretty good. You know, it's like, so what are you waiting for? Like, so,
is
so
there's the pain of the change that they think absolutely that the pain of the change is worse than the pain of keeping something?
No, or I do think it comes a lot of times from a health, like from a healthy, like you care about that person, but it's like, you can care about that person without it sabotaging your business. That's like, right, you can care about a lot of people, but if you have the wrong people on the team, you know, it's like, hey, I care about you, but I need you to be somewhere else.
Yeah.
You know, because I care more about the sustainability of, you know, your business. Like, they have a job to do. That's the primary function, is not to be your friend. It's to be, you know, to do the task. And so I think a lot of people just have to wake up and realize, like, that person should have been gone a long time ago. They're not going to change. It's not about paying them, you know, more. It's not about having more flexible hours. It's not about work from home. And I have seen, we've seen this with so many, because we get to talk to so many different advisors, that they will just go, dude, I don't know if you remember this call. We had an advisor say, well, I really want to grow my business, but my assistant can only work, you know, 18 hours a week because they've got this kid they've got to pick up this time from daycare and da da da. And I was like, so you're going to not grow your business because you're assistant has to pick up their kid from daycare. Doesn't mean that I don't care about that assistant and their kids. Mm-hmm. It just means, like, you have a business to run. Like, that's the primary focus of her relationship with you. And they literally just sort of making these excuses. So
that reminds me of a conversation I had with a paraplaner once, where we're heading down a path to where he was maybe going to be exited. Things just weren't going well. And from the outside perspective, it looked like he just wasn't doing a good job. And later what was revealed is one of our admin support staff was difficult to work with, you know, got frustrated when people asked her for help. And for me, if I ever have somebody on the team where I'm hesitant to ask them to help, that engage, that could be, if you have any sense of that, if there's any pause in you to sit down with somebody, be like, hey, why do we do this? Hey, what about this? Don't ignore that for very long.
Yeah.
What ended up happening was that person was exited, and this paraplanner said, man, that's great. I had all these problems. And he started listing all these things about how essentially a good portion of what was reflecting on his poor performance was his inability to interact with this person.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a pretty direct conversation with him. I was like, you essentially hurt the whole team.
Yeah. By tolerating that.
And he said, well, I didn't want to be part of anybody getting in trouble or being let go. And I was like, but at the end of the day, we have to defend the culture and the legacy as a company, not an individual person.
Yes.
And so great conversation, good learning point for him, that it's like, in a perfect world, he would have come to me and said, Sten, you know, this is a problem. We need to fix it. And if it persisted, at some point, he would have been like, either that person leaves or I do. Like, yeah. If it's so important to you for you to do your job well and for the clients, because he heard the way they were talking to clients and it wasn't great. He even said, hey, I have some people I know that want to become clients, but I'm hesitant to bring them on board because they're going to have to interact with her. And I'm like, the big red button should have been,
like, what are we doing here? Right.
So I appreciate his heart behind it, but I think that it's a great example of what this book tries to get to, is that, like, what you think you're doing to help others or to avoid pain for yourself is creating a much bigger problem.
Yeah. I would encourage you to ask this question. Why are we here? Like, why is this person here? Why do I show up? Why does this relationship exist? And it exists in the context of a business that has to be run to help a lot of people, help as many people as possible, and including you and your own family as the business owner. So don't lose sight of that. Some other points from the book, normalize endings. I just think that it is healthy to have endings. Things. I ended a group that I was a part of for a while, and I just emailed them all up. I emailed a couple of them, the leader and then one other person that I had a good relationship in the group, and said, hey, I'm not going to be part of this group anymore, but it's been great. Appreciate you. I want us to continue to have a friendship, but I'm just not going to do that. And somebody messaged and said, hey, I heard you're not coming to the group anymore. You know, I hope you come back. And I wrote back, I'm not coming back. It's not the right group for me, but I wish you the very best. And it was one of those things where, and here's the problem with the group, is people just felt like I have to be in this group forever. I'm like, no, you don't.
Yeah.
Like, you, there's very few things you need to be in forever, right? And so I think that it's just healthy to normalize that. Let me ask you about this. How do you as a business owner, take the time to evaluate when an ending needs to happen? How do you know when it's like, no, this is a tweak, or no, this is not going to work? Because you want to fix things. So you think, oh, it's just a, when you see that, how many times do you have a conversation about something until you go, this is the third time we've had a conversation about that. Like, this is not working.
One thing that affected me early on in business was I didn't have great examples of this. So I didn't have like a mentor teaching me these things. And so therefore I just kind of went forward, and the type of leader I was early on attracted people that were not going to stand up and push back. They kind of just waited to see what Sten said, and then they tried to execute it.
Yeah.
And then if mistakes were made or things weren't efficient, they would try to kind of cover it up. And really that all reflects on me as a leader. And so I had to just, one, get really clear on like, what is it about me that causes me to lead that way? And how do I get to the root of that? We also have to, I think for me, I had to get constant input from others. As soon as I was able to kind of sit in, you know, the shame of like, well, I'm not naturally a good leader. One, I didn't get taught, and I haven't had great examples. And, you know, my story has actually led me to be not a healthy leader that can lean into hard conversations while still being kind. That's something I had to learn from others. So I have to be in groups and get input from others for them to point out. And I've had these conversations. There's this group I meet with, 12 business owners. We meet for a full day every month. You know, it's a big investment for my business. But every single time I'm in there, like a light bulb turns on, I get away from my business, I get some perspective. And there's been a couple of times where everybody in the room looks at me. And a lot of times they look at me and they say, Sten's the financial strategy guy. Like, we go to him for answers. And they're like, Sten, what are you doing? Like, you realize how big a blind spot that is?
From a personnel perspective.
Or other business decisions, they just lean in really hard. And so part of our community and getting coached by advisors, like if you're on an island or you are surrounded by people that are all kind of accepting average, you have to go somewhere and get input from experienced entrepreneurs that have lived these things out themselves. Because I had to humble myself and say, you know, there's something I'm blind to right now. I don't know. And I need input.
This is last thing I want to mention is there's a part of this book that talks about examining your internal maps. Mm-hmm. And he explains it as be aware of mental maps that keep you stuck so you can change them. The problem with our mental maps is it is essentially like you driving in the same path all the time and someone saying, did you know there's another road? And it's not that you're like, I hate that road, or it literally just didn't know. It's a level of ignorance as in, I just literally didn't know that was an option. Mm-hmm. And I would just encourage those who have a personnel issue that you're struggling with, that give yourself a little grace and you go, maybe I just don't know how to have necessary endings. And, you know, don't be hard on yourself in that regard, but find a way to break the mental map, the same route you keep taking, which is I'm going to talk to them again. I'm going to have another conversation, or I'm just going to tolerate it, or I'm going to bend my behavior around their behavior. Like, that's not how it's supposed to work. And so I would encourage you to find a place for you to have someone else challenge your mental map, challenge your habits, who knows what they're talking about, cares about you, but is also direct. I had a conversation with an advisor yesterday, and my conversation with them was about growing their planning business. And it really came down to they were not very confident in their process. And so they weren't bringing on new customers. They weren't bringing on new clients. I said, so if we, because they're a person of character, they don't want to essentially sell something they weren't confident in. I said, so let's figure that out. And then let's go get you some more clients. But it was them being honest with themselves and saying, I'm hiding. Like I'm not doing the work I should be doing. I'm just sort of keeping myself busy. So I appreciate you being honest about your struggles and experience with personnel. If endings are necessary, then it could be a sign of unhealthiness if you haven't had endings in a long time.
Yeah. And I think one obstacle us as advisors face is we are responsible for so many things in the business.
Yeah.
That even with all my best intentions, there's layers between me and certain team members or processes that by time the problem finds me, it's way too late. And so the fact that I have a kind of a COO practice manager that keeps her finger on the pulse of the practice, she's better at having those conversations. She roots them out quicker because so I can live in my superpowers better. So if you're an advisor now saying, this is just a lot, I can't exit this person because that's my only staff member.
Yeah.
I want to give credit to all those feelings. That's real. I've been there.
Yeah.
If that's a situation you find yourself in, the hope would be, and when we coach advisors, like, okay, what's your plan to get out of it?
Right.
Because you do not want to live in a business where you feel beholden to employees that are not the right fits, but you don't feel like you can exit them because you have no options.
Right.
Like that would be a pretty sad place to sit in.
I think a lot of people are there, Stan, and I appreciate your practicality of this, because as you were saying, the key to this is to find people who can help you look at your business and mm-hmm. make those hard decisions.
Yeah. And there's times I've had team members where I've had to slow play it a little bit and say, okay, well, they're fulfilling some task. I'm going to insulate our clients from them to some degree, but yeah. I'm going to bring somebody else on. And then there's a chance they change. I'm not taking it away from them, but I have to make business decisions based on the highest likelihood, which is they're not going to do a miraculous change.
Right.
So the business is difficult. It's a challenge. All that is true. But make hard choices sooner, because mm-hmm. even the short-term pain, you'll look back and, you know, it's a gift to your future self.
Thanks, Dan.
Thanks, bud.